you praise Jesus in this moment? Oh, I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. You are so good. Amen. You guys can take your seats. Are you doing well tonight, Nations Youth? Yep, Aaron's good. How good is it having Aaron in the house? Let's go. Woo. Aaron is like my dad. And then if my dad had a dad, that's Aaron. No, I'm joking. We're going to get into the Word of God pretty much straight away today. So who's excited for the Word of God? Let's go. I know we say it often, but is anyone excited enough they brought their physical Bible? Yes. Let's go. Well, if you brought your physical Bible, why don't you open it to the book of James, chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 and 26. Not the whole way, just those three. You ready? You don't sound ready. You guys ready? Let's go. James 2, 17 says this, "So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Someone say dead. "But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Verse 26, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." You know, all term we've been speaking about faith. You know, Pastor Matt preached up a storm a few weeks ago speaking about faith comes by hearing. Does anyone remember that message? Week two, yeah? You know, he spoke about we hear God by stirring up our spirit, by noticing the nudge or the internal witness and then doing something with it. And I believe tonight we're going to continue speaking about faith and specifically putting action to our faith. You know, it's all well and good to say, I have faith, but if your faith doesn't look like anything, how do we know you have faith? If your faith doesn't do anything but stay in your head, how do we know you have faith? How do you know you have faith? And so today, we're going to continue talking about faith. And it says in the Word of God that faith without works or faith without actions is dead. And I don't know about you, I don't want to have a dead faith. I don't want to have a dead, complacent, boring faith, but I want a faith that is alive. I don't know about you. I don't know if you're in this place and you want to have a faith that's alive, but I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, my faith is alive. Why don't you turn to the other person on the other side and yell at them, my faith is alive. My faith is alive. That is the title of my sermon tonight, and I'm just going to pray and then we'll go from there. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're here. You're already moving. You're already speaking. And I pray, Lord God, would you reveal yourself to us in a greater measure? Help us to apply our faith tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Come on, why don't we give it up for the Lord? It was so good, Jesus. We love you. Amen. We can also give it up for the team. Thank you, team. You guys are the best. Woo, beautiful. My faith is alive. What does it mean to have active faith, you might be asking? What does it look like to have an alive faith? It means your faith is active. It means your faith has life. It means it is in operation. An alive faith is a faith that expresses itself through actions. You know, it continues to grow, respond, and actually bear fruit in our lives. And so in the book of James, it says, faith without works is dead. So that means if I don't have actions partnered with my faith, then my faith is dead. If I don't have actions or things that I can physically do partnered with my faith, then my faith is dead. But if I actually partner my faith with my actions, if I have a belief in God for something, if I have faith in something and I partner my actions with my faith, then my faith is alive. Someone say alive. And we don't want a dead faith. I don't know about you, Nations Youth, but a dead faith sounds dead. I want an alive faith. I want an alive faith. Someone say, my faith is alive. My faith is alive. Come on, we're going to read another verse in Matthew chapter 14. If you got your Bibles, verse 22 to 33. You know, this is a passage where Jesus is around. This is in the Gospel of Matthew, and it is the story of Jesus walking on water. Does anyone know that story? Anyone heard that one before? Yeah, I see that hand. Come on. Beautiful. Well, why don't we put it up on the screen? We're going to read it all together. Matthew 14, 22 to 23. Can you see it? Beautiful. It's pretty big. How good. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. Someone say the other side. While he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. How beautiful. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Let's just pause there. That is pretty epic. Often we like read the Bible and we're like, oh yeah, like Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus walked on the lake, and we forget how awesome it is. Like, have you ever seen anyone walk on water? Exactly. How cool is this? I don't know if you ever tried in the pool and just failed. Yeah, every camp, hey. Where was I? When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they had climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." What an amazing passage of scripture. I love reading the Bible. It's so good. And let me give you a Jacko translation of this verse. So what happened? Jesus has just done great miracles. He sends the boys off in the boat to go and pray. Then a crazy storm rolls in. Winds and waves are going nuts. And the boys are like, I don't know how Jesus is getting to us, but apparently they didn't mention anything about that. Jesus, next minute, comes walking out on the water in the crazy waves. Doesn't matter. He's going up and down. He's floating. He's chilling. And he gets to near the boat. Peter sees him and is first afraid, but then says, "Jesus, if it is you, tell me to come to you," right? Jesus then says the one word. He says, "Come." And Peter gets out of the boat, and I don't know what sort of boat you're picturing. I'm picturing like a pirate ship. That you can picture whatever you want, but that just helps me. And so, you know how you like climb down the side of the boat? I'm assuming it's a decently sized boat. They're all in there. And so he climbs down the side. The waves are going crazy, and he puts his foot out on the water, and he begins to walk on the water. And he's like, wow, this is pretty sick. He sees Jesus. He keeps walking on out towards him. Keep in mind, this is during a huge storm. And then he begins to notice the storm, as you do in the middle of a storm. And he started to sink. He started to fall. He started to drown. Thankfully, Jesus caught him. And he said to him, "You of little faith." Now, this thing, "you of little faith," didn't mean like, you didn't have enough faith to walk on water for long enough, but it meant you of momentary or short time faith. Does that make sense to you? So Peter, he had enough faith to walk on water, but it was only momentary. When he looked at the winds and the waves, his faith got distracted, and it was only in that short moment. Thankfully, Jesus saved the day as always, and they worshiped him. And I love reading the Gospels and just hearing about what an absolute beast Jesus is. But I wonder tonight, if we were in this boat on that stormy day, how many of us would hear Jesus say, "Come," and we wouldn't move? How many of us in this place, if you're being honest, if you were in that stormy boat, you heard Jesus say, "Yeah, come on," would not move at all? You know, maybe too many of us are stuck asking, "God, give me more clarity. God, give me clarity. Like, let all the disciples instantly turn to me, say my favorite food, and then say, you should go out and walk to Jesus." You know, sometimes we, you know, if you think about it, maybe if you were in that place, you would hope that God would lift you up and fly you towards him. You wouldn't have to move a muscle, but God would pick you up and take you there himself. You know, maybe there's some of us who would say they'd be afraid of the winds and the waves hitting us and us drowning. You know, we're already wet in the boat. You know, we don't need to drown even more. Maybe some of us would be nervous about what our friends would think who are standing on the left and right of us. You know, if we were to be obedient to what Jesus said, maybe we'd look weird. We'd look different. And so many of us would just ignore Jesus altogether. Peter in this story, he didn't have a dead faith, but he had a faith that was alive. He had a faith that was alive. If Jesus said something, he would believe it. If Jesus said, come, he would go. If Jesus said, stand up, he would stand up. If Jesus told him to jump, he would say, how high? And I want to ask you tonight, young person, if Jesus tells you to come out of the boat, would you come? Would you come? I believe we've been called by God to be a people with an alive faith, not a dead, boring, dormant faith, but a faith that is alive, a faith that is alive, a faith that believes Jesus is still alive today, a faith that believes that Jesus can, you know, raise dead bodies today, a faith that believes that Jesus Christ can heal bodies, can preach, can save people, can set people free. You know, a faith that is alive is a faith that believes that Jesus Christ can still raise people from the dead. A faith in Jesus that he can see your school saved. Come on, my faith is alive. Is your faith alive? Come on. And so you might be like, what does it look like to have an alive faith? How do I, you know, put action to my faith? I've got three amazing points. Two of them are really good. One of them is an if we have time. So everyone say point number one. Really simple. Have faith for something. Have faith for something. Often in today's day and age, we don't like to say it, but we think that God can only save us. You know, maybe we think that God's only powerful enough to save us from our sins, but not powerful enough to heal us. Not powerful enough to set us free from our bondage, not powerful enough to restore our parents' marriage, not powerful enough to, you know, heal your sick relative. We get so distracted with the craziness of life that sometimes we forget to have faith for things. You know, we're happy in our life and we're going about our day, we've been saved, we're all good, we're standing right before God. But how many of us forget to have faith and belief in God for things? You know, all throughout the Bible, there's stories of people who come to Jesus or come to God with faith. You know, there's in Mark 5, there's the woman with the issue of blood who comes to Jesus, who has suffered for many, many years and gone to all of the doctors and only grown worse. She had a faith in her heart that if she just reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, that she would be healed. Come on, how good is that story? Anyone love that story? You know, there's a story about a man called blind Bartimaeus. He had faith in God because he had heard testimonies floating around. He'd never seen Jesus, he'd never met Jesus before, but he'd heard testimonies going around the town that he was in. He'd heard that the Messiah, that the Savior was coming to his town. And so this guy had been blind since birth. And what did he do? He started crying out, Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. People all around him would tell him to shut up. You know, stop talking. Jesus doesn't want to meet you. And he would cry all the louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The reason he did that is because he had faith that Jesus could heal him. You know, Peter, in the passage we read earlier, when he was in the boat, he had faith to do something that humans had never done before. He had faith to walk on water. It would be as if I said I could fly right here and walked off. I'm not going to. I personally don't have faith for that. Maybe you do. And that's awesome. But people in the Bible came to God with faith. And we need to remember that God is still God, that he is still good, that Jesus Christ is still alive today, that the tomb is still empty, the stone is still rolled away, that Jesus is alive today. And we don't have to settle for a dead, a boring, and a dormant faith. But our God is alive. We have access to the power of God. So what do you have faith for? What do you have faith for? It's time to have faith for something. Have faith for something. You know, there was this old preacher who lived in the early 1900s, and He was like a healing evangelist, and he led over 1 million people to know who Jesus is, to get saved. His name is Raymond T. Ritchie. I learned a little bit about him the other day. And he said this, which I love. Faith is just acting like the word of God is true. Faith is just acting like the word of God is true. It's so good, it's behind me. That's how good it is. And I think it's true. If you want to have an alive faith, if you want to have a faith that moves mountains, that sees people healed, we got to start acting like the word of God is true. And so maybe you're in this place, you have faith for a friend to come to know him. You know, maybe you've spoken to him or her for the last couple math lessons. You've been sitting next to each other and you're like, perfect. I'm gonna drill them with my testimony till they come to know the Lord. I'm so grateful that my good friend Connor did that to me. And so I'm here today. Come on. But maybe you're sitting next to that friend and you're like, all right, I want to invite him to youth. So you invite him to youth the first week. Oh, no, sorry, brother. I got basketball on. Oh, no stress. Invite him the next week. Oh, yeah, nah. The third week, yeah, nah. And you've stopped inviting them because they keep saying they're too busy or they can't be bothered checking it out. Maybe it's time to have faith again, to believe that they can come, that they're going to get saved, that they're going to receive salvation. You know, maybe there's someone in your family right now. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's another relative who's battling with a sickness, battling with disease. And, you know, they've been battling with this over the last few months or the last few years. And in the early days, it was easy to have faith. You know, it was easy to believe that God would heal them and set them free because they seemed fine. God could heal them. But maybe as time has gone on, the months have gone by, years have gone by, they've only gotten worse. Maybe you've lost your faith, but I'm here to tell you, it's time to have faith in God again. It's time to have faith in God again, that he's going to heal your relative, that he's going to heal your mom, your dad, whoever it is. It's time to have faith in God again. Whatever it is, insert your story here. It's time to have faith for something. I'm going to have a sip. And then I'm going to tell you a time. Wait, I'm going to just tell you. I'm not going to explain myself. I'm going to tell you a time about, well, I just said that. Hang on, Sam, what are you doing to me? Nah, I'm joking. There was a time a couple weeks ago that I had faith for something. And so if you didn't know, Nations Youth is a part of a wider entity called Nations Church. And if you didn't know that, now you know. And you can come to church on Sunday. Amazing, praise God. And we recently had our Vision Sundays at Nations Church. They released the word of the year, which is faith. How convenient. And, you know, Pastor Shannon and Pastor Ken were speaking and encouraging us to come to Vision Sunday, believing for something. And, you know, we had a time of prayer and fasting, and they were like, all right, come to Vision Sunday, believing something. So I rock up Vision Sunday, number one, the 5 p.m. service. I'm leading worship, and I come up to, oh, wait, before that happens, Maddie and I, my wonderful wife, give it up for Maddie. We are in the process of buying a house and saving money and trying to buy some land. It's crazy out here. If you think of the biggest number of money in your head ever and then double it, that's probably what prices are like at the moment. So we're doing our best. Any tips would help? No, I'm joking. But we're saving, we're doing what we can. And so we were believing and praying and fasting into this Vision Sunday that God would speak to us about our finances. He would speak to us, he would provide, and so whatnot. So we get to this Sunday, I'm leading worship. I come up to start the 5 p.m. service. I'm leading the first praise song, I believe. And Maddie's like in the front row throwing up gang signs to me. I'm like, what is going on? I don't know. I'm not a hoodlum like you are. I didn't grow up like that. So I couldn't figure it out. Pastor Shannon was up there. He was interpreting for me because he's of the streets. No, I'm joking. And so we finish a time of worship. I go backstage. And I check my phone and I open up my phone and Maddie's got a message to me. I can't remember exactly what she said. Basically, look at your bank account. I was like, all right. I look at my bank account and this is what is in my bank account. Bang. Fast transfer, $1,000. Just $1,000. We're like, what the heck? This is crazy. We're literally believing for God to give us money. And if you see here the description, it says Jaira. If you know what that is the Lord will provide. Come on. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Hey! How good. So this was just a few weeks ago for us, and we were given this money, and it was amazing. And no one knew we had faith for this. No one knew that we were believing for this, like maybe a few friends, but we were praying and believing for God to speak to us in this service. And then this is what happened, and Maddie shared with me after that she felt God say, this will be our next year if we continue to trust God and to have faith. And so I don't know about you, but I still believe that God works miracles today. If He's provided for me, He can provide for you as well. And so it's time to have faith for something. It's time to have an alive faith. I don't know about you, but if I want to have an alive faith, I should stand to our feet and praise the Lord, because He is good. Amen. Amen. It's time to have faith for something. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's time to have faith. Pastor Matt, I'll tell you what, that third point is going fast. Point number two is this: do what you feel God say. Do what you feel God say. Really good 2 points. How good? James 1 verse 22 says this: but don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Someone say, do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Ooh, that would suck. So we have faith for God in something, and then we just do what we feel God says. How good's that? Sometimes I think in Christianity, because God is so big and eternal and glorious, and that is absolutely true, we think that being a Christian is really hard. Sometimes we overcomplicate things, but God is, as much as He is extravagant and glorious and beautiful and huge and epic, that's all the words I know, He is also simple. He's not making it hard on purpose. That would be cruel. And so, just do what you feel God say. It's as easy as that. Now keep in mind, God will never say anything that contradicts His word. And I'm not going to go into the nitty-gritty details of hearing the voice of God and stuff like that. That is absolutely important, but we don't have time. We're not even getting to point three. I saw your text. Don't worry. I got it. Point three is coming, guys. Get excited. But what I will say is that everyone who accepts Jesus Christ into their hearts says that Jesus is Lord will be saved. That's what it says in the Bible. And when that happens, because we are... we're triune beings. So we have a spirit. Our spirit actually gets healed. It gets restored. And so, you know, before we're made whole, before we're made Christians, our spirit is broken and it's evil. But God, in the salvation process, makes us whole and restores our spirit. And through our spirit, the Lord can actually speak to you, because the Holy Spirit in salvation comes and lives in you. You know, it's different to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's Pastor Matt's sermon in week 10. But the Holy Spirit will come and live within you, and He can speak to you through your spirit. And so in Peter's example, he had the physical Jesus right in front of him, which is awfully convenient for him. Jesus says, come, Peter, and Peter gets out the boat. But if Jesus said, come, and Peter's like, yep, I'm coming, and then just stands there and doesn't get out the boat, doesn't, you know, walk on water. And he's like, yeah, guys, I walked on water. I went to Jesus. We'd be like, you're an idiot. You didn't go anywhere. In the same way, faith isn't just the action. The action is the response to the faith. Faith isn't just an action, but the action is a response to our faith. So it's not about doing things for God that replace your faith, because that is dead. You know, we read in the verse earlier, just doing things for God without faith is dead. Yeah. And so having faith in God for something specific and then doing a particular action that you feel God is giving to you and saying to you is an outworking of that faith. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. Amazing. There's no point in doing a 21-day water fast and, you know, not eating food for 21 days, that's how fast works, and, you know, going after that, if you're not believing God for anything. If God didn't say to do it, you're just doing a really awful diet. But if you're believing for healing, for something that God has told you to do, and he leads you to, you know, go into a time of 21 days of prayer and fasting, and, you know, all you're doing is drinking water and a bit of salt and you're praying every day, you best believe that that fast is the best possible thing that you can do. And so to have an alive faith, we one, need to have faith for something, and two, we need to do what we feel God says. And I'm gonna get the worship team up as I tell one more story. You guys still there? Amazing. I'm gonna come down here. Let's go. So, oh yeah, I'll stay. Don't worry, guys, I'll stay here for now. So, earlier last year, Maddie and I were still saving for this house. It's a long process. You guys won't understand because of how expensive it is and the burden I carry. But we were like, yeah, we're saving for this house. It was good. And we were talking just as people do. And we were saying, oh, it'd be so awesome to have a new car. Who here would just love a new car? Matt especially would love a new car. And so... Just lay yourself down. And so we're just talking. We love a new car. Awesome. That's probably like the middle of the year. We don't really do much with it. We write it in our goals note and then leave it there. And we're like, this is a faith goal. Awesome. Next thing. A couple months later, we're just going about life, and I just feel the little nudge from God to actually give my phone away. And I felt to give my phone to my good friend Rebecca. Say hi to Rebecca. Here is said phone. Hold it up, Beck. Oh, she's getting a call. Here's the phone. Awesome. So I felt from God to be like, all right, give this phone away. And so I was like, okay, I'll do that. I'll pay the phone off the plan. Didn't have much longer on it anyways. And so, awesome. Got a new phone. Gave it to Beck. Oh, we're wrapping it, getting it ready. New case, new charger. You know, Maddie and I were blessed. And so we're wrapping it up. And we were going to give it to Beck. And that very day, we were going to stop off with some people close to us on the way to giving this present. And so we were just chilling in the house in their kitchen. And we're just chilling as we do. And they were like, hey, we want to help give you some money to buy a new car. And we're like, whoa, thank you so much. That's amazing. And I'm like, wow, this is so cool. Like, we were talking about a new car a couple months ago. And they were like, yeah, we want to give you $30,000. And we were like, huh? So you said what? And they're like, yeah, we want to give you 30 grand. And we had a very similar reaction to we are right now. I started laughing because I was like, I was just a bit blown away. I was like, this is nuts. I was like, so in awe of God, but also I was just having fun laughing. I was looking at Maddie. She was laughing as well. And so we were like, cool. And then, you know, transfer came through later that day. 30 grand entered our bank account. We're like, what the heck? This is crazy. And so I'm here to testify today that God didn't just give us a grand a couple weeks ago, but in October last year, he gave us 30 grand to buy a new car. And I'm going to put the photo up of the new car. Come on, let's go. There it is. We got a brand, oh, it's not a brand new car, but we got a new car. How good is that? I'm gonna go back up here because that's where the notes are. But we got this beautiful 2023 Nissan X-Trail. We had this specific list that we were praying for after we found out the 30 grand, but we got everything we'd hoped for. The leather seats, the four-wheel drive, seven seats, did I say that? No, seven seats. It was glorious. Apple CarPlay, what more would you ask for in a car? Other than it flies. I want to testify, we had faith for something and God told me to do something about it. It wasn't just that I had faith for something. It wasn't just that I had faith for something, but God told me to do something about it. And so it was literally the exact same day we were going to give the phone to Beck that we found out we're getting this money. And so I'm here today to testify of God's goodness. I'm here to testify of the car that God provided for us, not because of anything cool that I did, but because we had faith and we were obedient to do what God said. I'm here today. It's time to have an alive faith. It's time to have faith for something, and it's time to do what you feel God say. And my third and final point that we're going to just skim through quickly is to do it scared. Do things scared. It's totally okay to, you know, have faith for things, to do what you feel God says, and to still be a little scared. It's all right. It happens to the best of us. I'm sure Peter was a little scared. That's why he sank. But he still stepped out the boat, still walked on water towards Jesus. But when he got scared of the winds and the waves, what happened? Jesus didn't let him drown, but Jesus caught him. He caught him and he brought him up and he brought him back onto the boat and they worshiped together. And I want to encourage you tonight, Nations Youth, it's totally okay to do things a little scared. You know what? I'd rather you do things a little bit scared and, you know, you feel like to talk to a friend, you're a little nervous to do it, you stumble over your words. I'd rather you do that than not talk to your friend at all. It is 100 times better to step out of faith, to step out in faith scared than to not step out in faith at all. And I want to encourage you with this, that faith and fear actually have the same definition. Faith and fear have the same definition. Fear is the response to evidence that is not yet seen. And faith is the response to evidence that is not yet seen. You get the choice to choose whether you want to walk in fear or whether you want to walk in faith. And we get to choose what response to take, whether to live out in fear or to live by faith. So I want to encourage you, your faith is alive. It's not time to have a dead faith. You know, I'm sick of having a dead faith. I don't want to see a generation rise up who don't believe that God can still do things. Come on, I want to see a generation of people that still believe that God raised from the dead, that Jesus Christ can still heal you, that Jesus can still deliver you, that Jesus Christ is still alive. He's still alive. And I believe in this place that God is speaking to so many of us, and he's asking you, what do you have faith for? What do you have faith for? You know, in a moment we're gonna split into connects, and I feel from God really is this: the two first points that I had, have faith for something, and then do what you feel God say. We're really gonna model out now. Right here in this place, we're gonna pray in just a moment. We're gonna learn. We're gonna hear from God something to have faith for. We're gonna learn what to have faith for, and then in our connects, we're actually going to split. We're going to do an activity where we hear from God how to outwork that faith. So I want to encourage you. Your faith is alive. Your faith is alive. But what do you have faith for? You know, maybe, like I said earlier, it's that friend in class who you've been wanting to speak to more about Jesus and Nations, and it's time to believe for their salvation again. It's time to keep praying for them. It's time to keep inviting them. Maybe for you, you've been dealing with fear of what people will think. Maybe you're sitting in the past when you've sat in Connect, you've been so nervous to share your thoughts, to share your questions, but you're afraid of what the other people might think. And if you're honest, you want to add to the conversation, but you're just nervous. I believe that God wants to set you free. Maybe you know, this is a big one, maybe you know next week is coming up. You're in need of a healing or a miracle. You've been struggling with stomach issues. Maybe you've been struggling with sore knees, sore back, whatever it is. Maybe you know next week is coming up, and as Pastor Matt shared, we have Unite Night, a night of healing and miracles. We have Pastor Jared's sermon coming in. Something lit up on the inside of you. Your spirit starts to go, I need that. I need that healing. I need that breakthrough. I need that miracle. Come on, maybe you just need a bit of fresh faith to believe once again for God to come through for you. So God is asking, what do you have faith for? So come on, Nations, why don't we stand on our feet? If you've got books or your phones, put them away. Just briefly, I want to speak to anyone who may be new or who in this place doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, this God that I've been speaking about over the last couple minutes, 30 minutes or so, he's real. You know, the stories that are in this Bible aren't just myth, it's not legend, but it's true. Everything this Bible says is true. And so it says in the Bible that we've all made mistakes. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And what does that mean, you might ask? That means that you've all encountered brokenness. In the world is crazy. Maybe you've lied, maybe you've sinned, you've made mistakes. We've all done it. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus loves us so much that he didn't want to just leave us in our sin and leave us separated from him. So it says in the Bible that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. And his son that he's talking about is Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to this earth and he lived. He was fully man, fully God. He did these miracles. He walked on water like we just read earlier. But he did that and he came with this one message: repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And Jesus, he took the price of the sins that we deserved. You know, we've made all the mistakes, but Jesus was fully perfect. He was blameless. He never once sinned. He never once made a mistake. And we all deserve this punishment, which is separation from God. But Jesus chose to take that punishment for all of us, for all of mankind, that whoever will believe in him will no longer perish in eternal life, but will get united with God, and that we will get to have relationship with him. And so every eye closed in this place, I believe that Jesus is here and he's speaking to you. Maybe this is your first time coming to Nations Youth, or maybe you've been coming a few times, but you've never made a decision for Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life. If that is you, if you're like, yes, Jackson, I want to make a decision tonight to follow Jesus. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. I'm not saying you have to learn how to walk on water or do anything crazy. But if you're here and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why don't you just lift your hand right now? If that's you, just lift your hand in this place. Yeah, I see those hands. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, anyone else? Anyone else want to make this decision tonight? Anyone else want to be bold enough? Lift their hand. Come on, we'll wait for you. This is the greatest decision that I've ever made. Truly changed my life. Just another 15 seconds. I'm looking around. It's just me and some few trusted leaders. If that's you, why don't you lift your hand now? Yeah, I see that hand. So good, so good. Thank you, Lord. You know, we're clapping because it says in the Bible that all of heaven rejoices when one person chooses to enter the kingdom of light. And so we're all going to say this one prayer together, and I'm going to say a line, then you repeat after me, and then we've got a gift that we want to place in your hand. And so I'm going to say this quickly. Lord Jesus, I choose you to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price that I deserved. I love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Come on, let's give some praise and honor to Jesus. Woo! Thank you, God. Jesus, so good. Praise God. That is amazing. So if that was you, if you lifted your hand in that moment, we have a small gift we want to place in your hand. We want to give you a Bible and just get some of your information. And so if you're at the back, and why don't you lift those torches now? If you are that person who lifted your hand, why don't you turn around and see those people? And we are going to applaud as you walk out and receive this gift. And so if that's you, come on, we're going to applaud for you. If you lifted your hand, why don't you make your way to the back there? You can take a friend, take a leader. So good. So good. Come on, Nations. Let's honor these people. So good. Is there anyone else? Amazing. Amazing. Well, as they have that conversation, there's one more thing I want to challenge us with. Send it. I will. I was holding back until you said that, so I'm glad. Tonight, I really felt like there's an emphasis on people preparing their faith for what God's going to do next week. Yeah. Yeah. Like that's the main assignment I feel from God, is to prepare you to live your faith in action for next week. So next week, Pastor Matt said it earlier, we have a night of healings and miracles right here in this room. We have a Unite Night as well. So all of our brothers and sisters from other nations' campuses coming to this place, and we have the wonderful Pastor Jared Sermon who's going to preach. And I believe that in a room like this, with people in those chairs that are standing, we have two options. We can choose to, one, come next week just as we do every other week. We can choose to come just as we are, with no different expectation, with no different faith. We can decide to come in our regular clothes, hang with our regular mates, eat the amazing food at the cafe, get through the word and go home. Or we can place a demand on God. We can come with a faith that, God, if you touch me, I am here. God, if you come, I will touch you. I will reach out to grab a hold of your garment. Come on, we have an option to come with our alive faith next week. And I want to challenge you. It's not time to come next week with a dead, boring faith, but it's time to come with a faith that's alive. It's time to come with a faith that's alive. You know, we need to place a demand on God. We need to get a little bit of faith. We need to get a bit of grit about us. You know, we need to come with our faith, believing God for something. We need to do what we feel God say. So what are you believing for? What are you believing for? Maybe it's for your friend to come to know God. Maybe you're in need of a healing or a breakthrough. Just lift your hands where you are now. I want to pray for you. And then we're going to go into our connects. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for every person in this place under the sound of my voice. I pray, Lord Jesus, would they come next week with a faith that's not dead, but a faith that's alive. I pray, Jesus, would we place a demand on the anointing of God. And I pray, Jesus, as we come next week, would we come with a faith that's alive, that's burning within us? I pray, Lord God, would you place in our minds, in our spirits now, what to have faith for? I thank you, Lord God, for our friends who don't yet know Christ. I thank you, Lord God, for friends at school who've been battling with sicknesses for months and years on end, who can be healed in a moment. I pray, Lord God, for people who may be dealing with injuries, who will be healed in a moment at the point of their faith. And so I pray, Lord Jesus, everyone under the sound of my voice, would they go home tonight with a faith and expectation that you will heal them next week in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, why don't you praise God just where you are? You know, just like Pastor Ken and Pastor Shannon spoke to us as a church about coming with expectation for Vision Sunday, you know, how they challenge us to pray and to fast in the lead up, I'm challenging you right now to do the same. Don't come next week just as you are. Come with faith. Come with an expectation. I want to challenge you to actually step out in faith during the week. Maybe it looks like getting in the Word more, reading those miracles and those Bible plans. Maybe it looks like spending time in worship or prayer, interceding for what you believe is going to happen. Maybe it looks like fasting, or maybe it looks like, you know, watching videos on YouTube of preachers who see healings and the miraculous. Whatever it is, come with faith and do what you feel God say. Is that good? Beautiful. Well, that brings us to the end of the time. We're going to go into our connect times now. And what I want to ask of every person, just as we go, that we go as fast as we can, but also that we make sure that we leave time for that activity where we talk about what, how we can, you know, actually apply our faith this week. Does that sound good? Beautiful. I love you all. Be released, and we'll see you next week.